Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bab Basra Daf Tzadi Gimel. We are holding on Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Beis. We are at Tashema, four lines from the end of the page. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Bar Simcha, Aleha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. Amud Aleph is going to be entirely about the sugya of Ein Holchin B'Mamon Acharov or Holchin B'Mamon Acharov. We had a machlokas yesterday between Rav and Shmuel. If a person sells a shor and the lokeach discovers that it's a nagcha, that it's a wild shor, that it's not sustainable to keep it, it's just going to do damage all over the place. So Rav says it's a mekach ta'us, and Shmuel says that no, the guy could say, I sold it to you for shechita. And the Gemara said, oh, what they're arguing about is, do we assume that you follow Rov when it comes to Dine Mamnus? Most people, when they buy Shvarim, they do it for Charisha, not for Shechita. So do we say that has to have been the presumption over here, that it was done for Charisha and therefore it's a Mekach Ta'us? Or can we assume that no, maybe it was done for Shechita because we do not follow Rov? That was the Machlokas yesterday. So we're trying to bring Rayas whether we follow Rov when it comes to Dine Mamnus. So we had one Raya yesterday. Now we're going to have another four Rayas today. We're going to bring rayas for Rav, rayas for Shmuel, rayas that it's a machlokas, but just try to discover from other Mishnayos in Shas whether there is a proof one way or the other, and the Gemara ultimately is going to come out that it is in fact a machlokas tanaim whether holchin mamun achar rov or not. Then the Gemara is going to go back to the discussion in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was about selling seeds, and then the person plants the seeds and they do not grow. So the discussion in the Mishnah is, do you have to reimburse the fellow for the seeds, or can you say, well, I thought you were going to eat them. I didn't think you were going to plant them. So the Gemara is going to discuss, in a case where you do have to reimburse the fellow for the seeds, do we assume that you also have to reimburse him for all of the expenses that went into planting those seeds? He had to hire workers, and he had to irrigate the field, and he had to do all these things just to discover that nothing was going to happen. So does he need to be reimbursed for that as well? Then the Gemara is going to conclude with two minhagim gedolim in Yerushalayim. We're going to refer to these things as a minhag gadol that happened in Yerushalayim, and that's going to bring us all the way to the Mishnah. So let's begin. Again, four lines from the end of the page on Daf Tzadi Beis and Beis. So Tashma, let's bring a raya to Rav that we're holchin b'mamon achar rov. A raya against Shmuel, and this raya is from a brisa. Hamocher eved l'chaver v'nimtza ganavo kuvyustos. A person sells an eved to his friend, and it turns out that eved was a ganav, that he was already a known ganav, or he was a kuvyustos, which Rashbam and Rashi understand means he was a kidnapper, he was a goniv nefashos, so a really bad guy, not the kind of guy you want to keep around your house. But you bought this eved, it turns out he's a ganav, or he's a kidnapper. So he gio. The halacha is lokech can't be chozer on the sale with the taina that it's a mekach ta'us, the sale is final. But lista mezuyon, if the eved was known as a murderer, where ultimately he was going to be arrested and killed, o muchtav l'malchus, or the eved was already chayv misav to the malchus because he was a murdered by malchus for one reason or another. So omer lo harish al chalafanecha. So kech can say to the mocher, take your eved. You sold me a dead eved. The Mekach is batel in such a case. Meaning that taka is a mekach tos because he sold me a dead man walking, and I wasn't supposed to be buying a dead man. So a guy who's not such a nice guy and has a criminal past, okay, that I have to accept. That's not going to be a mekach tos. But a guy who's already a dead man walking, that's a mekach tos. So the Gemara's medayik reisha, the first part of the brisa where he's a ganav or a kavyustos, where we said that you cannot be mevatel the mekach. My taima, why is it that you cannot be mevatel the mekach? Lav mishum deruba hachi isnu. Isn't it because rov avadim have these chesronos? Rov avadim are ganavim and kuvis yostim, and minastam, this eved you should have assumed is from that rove, and therefore you were makabel with this understanding that he's going to have these drawbacks to him. So you see that you follow rove, and that's why the sale is final, and that's a raya to rav that we taka follow rove in dinim amnus, and against Shmuel. Shmuel would say that no, the guy can tina, I never would have bought a criminal eved. I know most of them are. I thought I was buying from the minority. So says Marlo, according to Shmuel, the reason is not because this is what Rove Avadim do, but rather Kulu Hachiyasnu. Shmuel would agree to this as well, that it's Higio, that it's not a Mekach Taos, because he doesn't hold that there's a Rove over here. He holds that it's Kol, that every single Eved is a Ganav or Kuvyostos. Oh, so it's every single Eved. So then obviously, naturally, you should have assumed that that would be the case over here. Now, the translation of Kuvyostos as someone who is a Gonev Nefashos, who is a kidnapper, is Rashbam and Rashi's translation. Rashi's in Kiddushin, Dafir Aleph. Tosvos in Dibra Maschil, Kuvyustos has problems with it. He says, I don't understand. The Gemara just said that Rov Avadim are Kuvyustim. And then the Gemara says, no, not Rov. Kol, they're all Kuvis Yosim. They're that, petty Gneva, that around the house, he sees a $100 bill around, he might stick it in his pocket. Okay, fine. But most of them are Gonvei Nefashos, they all have dungeons in their basements where they're keeping people? Well, how could that possibly be the case, that most are Kuvis Yosim? Therefore, Tulsa says, like Rabbeinu Chananel, that a Kuvis Yosim is a Mesachik Bekuvia, that he's a gambler, he's a degenerate. So that Chisaron probably is by all avadim, and therefore it's not a mekach tos. That's much more likely that such a thing would apply to all avadim. In Masechet Sanhedrin, when Daf Gimel and Beis, the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yoshia, the idea that we follow Rov Dayanim in Dinim Amnus is derived from a Kal V'Chomer. That if by Dinim Nefashos, which are very Chomer, the Torah says that you follow Rov, so by Dinim Amnus, Lo Kol Shekein, that you're going to follow Rov. Meaning when you have a Sanhedrin of 23 and 15 vote one way and 8 vote the other way, we follow a Rov on that. Even though there are 8 people saying the man is innocent, so when you have a basin of 3 dealing with Dinim Amnus, so Kal V'Chomer, we're willing to follow the Rove. So Tosfos raises the question that according to Shmuel, that Ein Olchin Mamanach HaRove, what kind of Kal V'Chomer? Right, Shmuel holds Ein Olchin Mamanach HaRove, but by Yisr V'Heter we do follow Rove. So how can you say Kal V'Chomer that if by Dinim Fashos we follow Rove, Kal V'Chomer by Dinim Mamanus? So Tosfos says, no, that the case is that Rove of the people who buy a shor buy it with Tzorech Harisha, that's not really a Chashev Rove like Rove Deos by Dayanim. And therefore, we don't rely on such a rove by Dine Mamanus. Meaning, even Shmuel would say that there are certain types of rove that we'll rely on for Dine Mamanus. But rove of buyers buying oxen for a particular purpose is not a strong enough rove. Rove Deos on a Beis Din, that's a much stronger rove. So that's Shittim Gubetzas and Sadi Beis and Beis, quotes from the Gilyan Atosos, Aval Rove Hakonim Lecharisha. Eino rov gamur, aval berov chashuv moda Shmuel. If it's a real rov chashuv, then Shmuel's moda. So he says, maybe when the Gemara comes to the conclusion that according to Shmuel, the rov avadim is not that are ganavim and kuvisyostim, and that's why the mekach is not a mekach taus, that the Gemara says, not rov, they're all kuvisyostim and ganavim. Maybe he doesn't really mean, the Gemara doesn't really mean kol. Maybe what the Gemara means is, it's a rov chashuv, that even Shmuel is willing to follow a Rov Chashuv by Dinim Amnus, but if you're going to assume like that, Shita Satosos, Masech Sanhedrin, that Shmuel also has to follow Rov, otherwise you're never going to have a Beis Din when you have 3 judges that is 2 to 1. So it must be there are certain types of Rov, and maybe it's saying this is the type of Rov that you would follow. There is a fascinating tshuva in the Shvus Yaakov, where the Shvus Yaakov was asked about a certain Balabayas who hired a Jewish Shivcha, and then he later found out that she's Muchsekas as a Ganav. She would steal it from all of her previous employers. So can he back out of the agreement to hire her? Or do we assume that since she could have otherwise found other work, now he can't back out because he's causing her a hefsid, he's causing her a loss by her not being able to find other work. So he starts with the Psak in Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat that if a balabayis is chozer bo, the poelim only have taromes, meaning the ainul avel taromes means they are allowed to complain, they're allowed to say this guy's a low life. How's he backing out on me last minute? That it's not nice that he's backing out on me. But that's all they have. They don't have a dini mamonis claim. They only have taromas, because the Baal Bayis could tell the poel, you know, go hire yourself out for someone else. But they have taromas for the tircha in having to do that. But if the poelim are able had they been notified earlier, would have been able to find other work. But now it's too late in the game; they're not able to find other work. So it turns out, by the balabais being chozer, they're losing out on the money. So he has to pay the schar kipol batal. He has to pay you don't have to pay the full price. They didn't provide you with the service, but at least you have to pay like a pol batal. These shailas come up all the time, right? Someone. I got a lot with women recently who the Sheita lady is supposed to come to the Chasana for a couple of $1,000 to do all the hair, and then the Chasana unfortunately is cancelled. So now can the Sheita lady say, yeah, I blocked off that night, it's my Parnasa, I had three Chasanas recently coming up on Yantif, this is my Parnasa, washing and sending Sheitels doesn't make you any money, it's the Chasanas that make you money. So I had $6,000 supposed to be coming in before Yantif, and now it's zero. So I can't charge anything, but you're going to charge someone who just canceled the chasna. Obviously, things aren't going great. What's the halacha? So what the halacha is and what the smart thing to do is maybe different things. But l'chora, it's kipol batel is the halacha. You don't pay the full price, but you would have to pay like a pol batel. So the same is true by the Baal HaBayis, who hires this shivcha, who's a ganav, that if she's able to be masker herself, b'makam Acher, so you should pay. If she could have been able, she would have been able to be masked herself Malkam Acher. You have to pay Kippol Batal. Otherwise, it's a in love el taromes. It's not a nice thing to do to cancel, and the person can have tainas on you, but they don't have a dini mumnis claim against you. So the Shvus Yaakov says, but if the person, she was a ganav over here, you can't. Ein adam dar benachashim kfifa. So the Gemara says that if a person sells or buys an evet that's a ganav, the Baal HaBayis can be chozer bo. So even though by avadim there's no simfon, there's no mum that you would say is a mekach ta'us, that's by an evet that he's not able to taina that there's a pagam that would be mevatel the mekach. But if he's a ganav or a chotef nefashos, such things he can't be chozer because all the avadim are becheskas that. But that's only by avadim kananim. But if it's a Jewish person, you would never assume Rovar Karnavim or Kuvis Yostim, and then Itaka would be a Mekach Toz. So that's how he comes out in this Shaila. It was a Jewish Shivcha. He wasn't expecting that she would be a Ganav. So then you could taina a Mekach Toz on the entire arrangement. Okay, back in the Gemara now. Toshima, right number 3, whether we follow Rov in Dina Mamnus. Sharshana has a parav, if an ox scores a parav, an imtso ubra betzida, and you see the dead fetus next to the mother, and we do not know whether the baby was born before the Negicha happened, and therefore this animal, the baby, died not as a result of the Negicha, so the owner of the shard should not have to pay for that. Or maybe because of the Negicha, this baby was the fetus came out and was miscarried, and therefore the Bala Shar is going to have to pay for both the mommy and the baby. So Mishalim Chatzi Nezek Lepara, you pay Chatzi Nezek for the para, because that's where that Chatzi Nezek for a Shar Tam is what you always pay. So that definitely happens. So you got to pay for that Chatzi Nezek, but a reveal of Vlad, you only have to pay quarter Nezek for the Vlad, because it's a Suffolk, whether you actually have to pay for the vlad at all. And momenu mutl b'savik cholkin, we're assuming like the shita of sumchus. So ask the Gemara, according to Rav, that you follow Rov when it comes to dinim amenis, v'amai, why is it considered a suffik whether the vlad died as a result of a negicha or the vlad just stam was miscarried? Lema halachacha rov paros. Most pregnancies that a cow has, does it end in miscarriage? No, most pregnancies come to full term and they have a baby. Verov paros misabros v'yoldos. Most paros are misabros v'yoldos. Va'avadeh machmas negicha yipila. Therefore, we should assume that if this one died, this baby, this fetus didn't make it, it must be because of the negicha. So if we follow Rov, it shouldn't be that you pay a quarter nezek for the vlad, you should pay chatzi nezek for the vlad. Because for sure it was because of the negicha, since that's the Rov, according to Rav. Sounds Gemara, Hasa Mishum de Mesafkalan, Deikal de Meimar, Mekamada Asam Biasusi, Mikama Asa, Umbiasusi Pila, Vikal de Meimar, Machora Asa, Umminachnacha Vipila. Now, you're right, the most cows will carry their pregnancy to full term, and that something terrible happened, and that it's the shor's fault. But not everything that the shor's fault does the Baal HaShor have to pay for. Meaning, if the shor would have snuck up behind the cow and just said "boo" and screamed in its ear, and the cow would have gotten so scared that that she miscarries, so the Baal HaShor does not have to pay for that. So it could be that that's what happened, that the shor was attacking the cow from in front of the cow. So the cow saw the shor coming at it full force, and the hapala happened then, before the negicha. The Baal HaShor does not have to pay for that, even though it's the shor's fault. It's only if it's by the force of the negicha that the hapala happened that he would have to pay. So since we don't know, it could have happened in either direction, so it's not a rov, it's a 50-50. It's considered mamon amutl b'safik, and anytime you have mamon amutl b'safik, we're going to say cholkin. That's how the Rashbam explains that even though minastam, most paros would carry their pregnancy to a full term, but we cannot rely on the rov, because it's a 50-50 whether it was the biasu or the force of the negicha that killed it. Tosas, however, says a little differently. Tosas says most of the time that it's the shor's fault, it's the negicha, it's not the biasusa, it's not the fear. But there's also some cows that just miscarry. So the two miyuts together make it 50-50. You have a miyut that's tam miscarry naturally. And then you have another miyut of the time that it's a shor's fault, where it's the fright that's caused by the shor. Put those two miyuts together, and now you have a 50-50 suffix, and therefore we come out that you pay a quarter. That's how Tosos understands. The Rashbam just points out that it's dafka in a suffix, like the shor shenag chesapara, we don't know what happened. That's called the Mamana Mutl B'Safek. But if you sell the shor to someone else, and it turns out the shor is the Nagchan, where we know exactly what happened, so even Sumchus is going to say, Amotzi Mechaveru Lavaraya. And therefore, according to Shmuel, that we don't follow Rov, the Lokeach should have explained that he's buying it for the sake of Harisha, and if he didn't say that, he's losing out. It's his own fault. He's going to lose out. So now says Gemara, next Raya. Leima Ketanoi. Maybe it's not like Rav, not like Shmuel. Well, maybe it's a machlokas tanayim whether we follow Rov or not. Because we have a braisa, shor shayir Rov, and it's a shor harug b'tzido. You have a shor that was grazing, and there was another dead shor found right next to the shor roa. Even though the dead shor seems to have died from being gored, and the other shor that's next to it is a muad to always be doing that, to always be goring other animals, or the one that's dead was clearly died from being bitten, and the other animal that's next to it was an animal that's a muad to do a lot of biting. The Torah Chaim says that that's an extra chiddush. By giving that second case, we're adding an additional chiddush, because you can't always tell when an animal is gored. Gored means that there was it was brute force, there was some trauma that was caused by brute force that killed it. It could have been that a giant beam fell off of a building and landed on the animal's back and killed it. You can't always see, even when we say zemenugach is not something you can say with certainty, but zen menushach, that you can say with certainty. When there are bite marks, then you know that it was clearly bitten. So that's the additional chiddush, that even though it's even more clear, it's a more clear indication that this is what happened. Nevertheless, ein omrim biyadua sheze negacha v'ze neshacho. Tanakama says that we do not say that we know for sure that it's a chazaka, that it was the shor haroa that did the goring or that did the biting, because you cannot be chayiv mamon based on an assessment. It has to be edim. It can't just be based on a guess, on an educated guess. So I'm guessing that this is the animal that's the culprit. A guess is not good enough. You need edim. We saw the Maisa. The Braisa then has a different sheet. Rabbi Acha Omer, Gomala Ocher Ben Agamalim. If you have an animal that's mating, a camel that's mating with another camel, and at that time there were other camels in the vicinity, Vinimtza Gomal Harug Bitsido, and one of the other camels in the vicinity is found dead next to these camels that were mating. So Biyadua Shazaharago. So you know it was the animal that was mating that killed it, because that's a chazaka that's what happened, because that's what camels do when their privacy is invaded at such a time. Any strange camel that's nearby at a time when they're mating, they give them a whack and they kill them. So that's probably what happened over here. So Savrua, the assumption in how to learn this brisa is Dirub of Chazaka Ki Adadi Ninu, that both of these dinim that you follow the rov are assuming you follow the rov, meaning the din that rov hamisabros yoldos vlad chai, that most pregnant cows will give birth to a live cow, and the second din that we follow the chazaka, meaning the sharmua that must be the one that was nogeach or nosheich the animal next to it, they both have the same power. Following rov and following chazaka are essentially the same thing, and if you're going to be motzi mamon mechaskaso based on a chazaka, then must be that you would also be motzi mamon mechaskaso based on a rov. That's the premise to this raya, right? The premise to this raya is that whatever we'll do for chazaka, we'll do for rov as well. So lema rav damar kariyacha. Once we say that, so rav who holds that holchin b'mamonach harov, that a rov is enough to extract money from somebody, will hold like Rabbi Acha, that we're motzi mamon based on the chazaka, because after all, Rabbi Acha said that you find a dead camel next to the mating camel, we can rely on a chazaka, that it's a chazaka, that a mating camel will kill another camel in its vicinity, and therefore you got to pay, the owner of the mating camel's got to pay for the other camel. Why? Chazaka. So if chazak is enough to make him pay, rov is enough to make him pay. Ushmuel da amar katanakama. And Shmuel says that ein olchen mamnach harov follows the tanakama. That just because this is nashuch and this is muad lishach, this is naguch and this is muad ligach, ein omrim biyodua shazen negacho v'zen neshacho. I cannot follow a chazaka to make somebody pay for something. And therefore Shmuel would say, and I can't follow a rov to make somebody pay for something. So that's the premise to the raya. So the raya is that it's machlokas tanaim. The premise to the raya is that whatever we'll do for rov, we'll do for chazaka. Whatever we'll do for chazaka, we'll do for rov. So Amar Lecha Rav. Rav might respond to you, I know Damri Afil Tanakama. No, I would even agree with the Tanakama that you cannot be mechayev the muad ligach or muad lishach just because there's a gored or bitten dead ox next to it. Because I can no kamar Tanakama asam. The Tanakama only potters the shor in that case. Elo delozin bas chazaka, because we're not going to follow chazaka to be mechayev him, and that's only by a shor that's muad ligach, because it goes against the rov shvarim shabiyolam. Most oxen are not muad ligach, most oxen are not this ox. So if this animal was bitten by some other animal, it could have been bitten by any of the thousands of animals that are that have access here. So we could have said that it was from one of them. So since a rov is more powerful than a chazaka, we're told that the negicha in the rov behemo shabiyolam and not in the shor that's actually muchzak. Aval basaruba azlinan. But if we have a chazaka that serves as a rov, then and doesn't go against the rov, then the Tanakama would agree with me. Meaning, Rav does not reject the premise. Whatever you do for a chazaka, you do for a rov. But if you have one rov and then you have another rov against it, so then you don't follow the first rov. So over here you have a chazaka, that it's a chazaka that the muad lishach, muad ligach is one that killed it, but then you have a rov against it. Rov beimo shabiyolam, could have been the culprit. So when there's a rov against it, then we're not going to follow the original chazaka. Ushmuel amr lecha, and Shmuel could tell you, I know Damri Afilu Rabbi Acha. I would agree even to Rabbi Acha. I'd come look on Rabbi Acha, Hasam Rabbi Acha only said that the gamal, the bala gamal is chayiv to pay for the dead animal next to it, ela dazlin bas chazaka, because we follow chazaka in such a case. Because do hu gufe muchzak, that the nature of this camel is to kill in such a case. So since the dead camel was dead right next to this camel that has a chazaka to kill, so the assessment is that we have a chazaka that this is what happened. So we follow such a chazaka. Aval basaruba lo azlinan, but to follow a rove that is a guess, meaning to guess something based on a rove, where the rove is not lifaneinu, rove shvarim are bought lecharisha, What does that have to do with me? That rove in the market of what lechayim. This camel that killed is, I could tell you as a chazaka that it's going to kill. Right? The camel that's mating, I could tell you as a chazaka it's going to kill anyone who gets in its way. But you can't tell me about me just because rove of the olam, that rove of the rest of the world, buys oxen for charisha. What does that have to do with why I bought my ox? I have my own motivations. So essentially what Shmuel is saying is, I also accept the premise that rove and chazaka are the same, but there are certain types of rove that are very strong roves and certain types of roves that are not very strong roves. When the rove speaks to me, so then it's a strong rove. When the rove just speaks to the olam, and based on that you want to assume something about me, that's a much, much weaker rove. Rabbi Kiveger has a murderous kasha over here, that the lashon of the Rashbam over here is aval basaruba de lesa kaman lo azlinan, that we're not going to follow a ruba de lesa kaman, a ruba that's out there in the world, but it's really got nothing to do with me. They don't follow a rove that's not lefanenu. So Truma Sedeshin writes that it's meduyik from the Rashbam that even according to Shmuel, if the rove is nimtza lefanenu, if it's a ruba di isa kaman, that the rove is right here, then we're motzi mamon al piv. Then we will be motzi mamon, because otherwise it will turn out that Shmuel is not like Rav Acha. That's Shmuel's whole way of saying that I could be even holding like Rav Acha, that you're motzi and mamon based on the chazaka that's in nimtzeis lefanenu. So Rabbi Kiveger asks, well, wait a second. In yesterday's daf, Shmuel said that when do we follow chazaka be isura, but bimamon lo. When do we follow a rove only by isur v'heter? But we're not holchin bimamon achar rove. What do we mean be isura? So the Rashbam said kigon teisha chanuyos, like a case of teisha chanuyos. That's where we follow isur, and that's where we do not follow rove. And comes the Rashbam in today's daf and says, Shmuel is always going to follow Ruba de Isa Kaman. He's just not going to follow Ruba de Lasa Kaman. Well, guess what? Teisha Chanuyos is a Ruba de Isa Kaman. So you could work out the Gemaras, but the Rashbams you can't work out. Right? That the Rashbam said in yesterday's daf that the example where Shmuel is going to say that we do not follow Rov by Mammon is 9 stores selling Basar Shechuta, 1 selling Basar Neveil, that the equivalent of that in Dina Mammonus would not be good enough. That's a Ruba de Isa Kaman. And yet the Rashbam tells us in today's daf that even Shmuel is going to follow Ruba de Isa Kaman. So Rabbi Kiva Eger leaves that as a Tzarachiyun. Yeah, that's the Kasha that he asks over here in the Gilyon HaShas. Okay, Tashma, let's bring another raya. Hamocher peros lechaveru. Someone sells peros and he doesn't say whether he's selling it to be planted or he's selling it for achila. This is our Mishnah. Uzra'en velo tzamcho. And the guy went and he planted it and nothing grew. V'afilu zera pishtan. Even if the pre that he sold him was zera pishtan, eino chayv b'achrius. And the mocher is not responsible to reimburse the lokech. My afilu. What does it mean, afilu zera pishtan? What additional chiddush is there in pishtan more so than other peros? Lav afilu zera Pishtan de Rubel is Ria Zavni. Isn't it what's unique about Zara Pishtan is that rove of the time it's bought for the purpose of Zriya? Vafilu achilo azin basaruba. And the Mishnah is saying we still don't follow the rove, that the Lokach can't say, look, rove people buy Pishtan to plant. What did you think I was going to do with it? So you can't sell me Pishtan, it's a Mekach Tos. You sold me Pishtan that cannot be planted. So that's the Raya like Shmuel, and it's a Kasha on Rav. So says the Gemara, you know what, you're right, that's a good raya, but tanayim, maybe it's a machlokas tanayim, and therefore Rav is passing like a different Tana. Did Tanya, because we have a Braiso that seems to tell us that it's a machlokas tanaim. Hamocher peros lechaveru zra'en velo tzamchu. A person sells peros to someone else, and the lokeach goes and he plants them, and nothing grows. So zero negina, if there's zero negina, she'in nechalin, where they're not, the peros, the seeds themselves are not edible at all. So chayv b'achriusan. Then obviously, we know what you were buying them for. They were being bought for planting, they didn't work, and therefore chayv b'achriusan. Zera pishtan, if it was pishtan where it's sometimes eaten, not often, but sometimes it's a miyut that it gets eaten, eino chayv b'achriusan. Then the mocher could say, I thought you were buying it to eat it. I didn't know you were buying it to plant it. I thought you were part of that miyut that was buying it to eat it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, no sin lo deme zera. The mocher has to give the lokeach the value of the zera that he paid, because we're holchin mamon achar rov. And by zera pishtan, rov rove people by it to plant it. So Amar lo, the Chum said back to Rabbi Yossi, why do you follow the rove that's Nimkar Lizria and you're Mechayiv the Mocher to pay for this Zera? Harbi loch nosol dvar macherim. There are lots and lots of people that buy for other purposes that will buy the Zera Pishtan for eating or for refuah. So for every one that's that buys 10 se'in for Zria, there are 100 that buy a little bit for Michael and for refuah. So even though among the 100 altogether, there's only one that was purchased for that purpose, but there's a rove konim do buy something for Michael and for Zria, and for Achila and for refuah. So which rove are you going to follow? Rove buyers or rove of quantity of what gets sold? So maybe the majority of that which gets sold for Zria, but the majority of buyers also buy for Achila. So which rove you want to follow? So says Gemara Mantanai, who are the Tanaim that argue whether we're Holchin Mamanacha Rove? Ilem Rabbi Yossi Vamrulo. So what, you're trying to tell me it's Rabbi Yossi who holds that we, that like Rav, that we follow the Rove, and the Amrulo, the Chachamim that respond to him and say, well, which Rove do you want to follow? They're not Holchin Mamanacha Rove? No, that's not true. It's Ravai Basaruba Azli. In that conversation, everybody's following a Rove. Their only machlokas is which rove that mar azul basaruba de inchi. The amrulo, the chacham that responds to Rabbi Yossi, follows rove of the buyers where they're not buying for the purpose of Zriya. Most people, when they buy seeds, they're buying a little package, you know, that they buy in the gas station rest stop or whatever, and then they're going to eat it in their car ride. But most of the seeds that get sold, when you're buying in bulk, so it's going to be sold to plant in the field. So Mars Umaras the Basruba Dizriya, and Rabbi Yossi is following that rove. Rove of the seeds are of Pishtan is meant for planting. So that's not the Machlokas Tanaim. Everyone's following rove in that Machlokas Tanaim. Ella I Tanakama v'Rabbi Yossi I Tanakama v'Amrlo. Now it's the Tanakama that showed up before Rabbi Yossi in the Brisa. Tanakama says we don't follow rove at all. Shmuel holds like that Tanakama. Now Rabbi Yossi and the Amrlo both say we do follow rove, and that's what Rav is following. They follow different roves, but they both say we follow rove. So that's where we have such a machlokas tanaim. So now the Gemara says, okay, now that you have to reimburse the fellow who bought these seeds from you, and nothing grew because you sold them faulty seeds because you taina that you thought he was going to eat them. How much do you have to reimburse him? So it's all about a maunosin though. The guy who sold zeroni gina that cannot get eaten, and the guy planted them and nothing grew. Right. I mean, let's say it was forget about taina's. Let's say it was a kind of thing that's not edible. I sold you inedible seeds, and I should have known. Everybody should have known that it was meant to be planted, and you planted it and nothing grew. So what do I have to pay you for? I have to reimburse you for what you paid me for these ra'im, but I don't have to reimburse you for all the expenses to hire the workers to work on the farm and to irrigate and to do all those things. However, there's a yeshomrim that you have to pay for the expenses as well. And that, Rashbam writes, must be a knas, because it's only grumma b'nezikin. It's clearly not a direct damage. The fact that you went out and you hired workers, the Rashbam and the Ritva say that some say it's dina degarmi, that if it's dina degarmi, so the and if you assume like the Shita, the Don Din of the Garmi, it's always difficult, and the Rishonim struggle mightily with figuring out what do we categorize as an indirect damage that gets put in the category of Garmi, which is somewhat direct, and according to some Tanaim, you do have to pay for, and what do we categorize as Grama, which all hold you don't have to pay for. But so that's Machlokas Rishonim, is this Grama or is this Garmi? Pashtos is it's Grama, and the Yesh Omrim, who says that you have to pay for the Otsa'ah, it's a knas midrabanan. So man yeshomrim. Who are the yeshomrim? I'm Rav Chisra Rav Shmuel Gamliel. Hey Rav Shmuel Gamliel. Which Rav Shmuel Gamliel? Where do we ever have him on record saying anything like this? So ilim Rav Shmuel Gamliel de Masnisin. If you're going to say it's our Rav Shmuel Gamliel and our Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph Ditnan, to just jog our memories, we learned in our Mishnah yesterday that a mocher perus lechaveru uzra and velo tzamchu. That if you sell perus to somebody else and the lokeach planted them and nothing grew because the what was sold to him was something that didn't have the capability to grow. Vafilu Zerapishtan. And even if it was Zerapishtan, where most of the time the assumption is that it's meant to be planted and not to be eaten, Eino chayv b'achriyuson. The mocher is not responsible for it, and he does not have to reimburse the lokeach, because he could say, I thought you were going to eat it. Eima seifa, and on that, the seifa comes along and says, Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, zirone gila shein nechalin, chayv b'achriyuson. That if what he sold him are things that are never eaten, they're always planted, well, then you do have to reimburse him, because it's something that's always eaten, so obviously, always planted, rather, and therefore it's obvious you should have realized that this fellow wants to plant it as well, and you sold him faulty merchandise. So it says, well, Tanakama, what did Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say that was at all objectionable to the Tanakama? Tanakama also said that. Tanakama said, the reason you have to reimburse him is because you can taina that you thought he was going to eat it. So obviously, if there's no reason to think he's going to eat it, because it's not something that people eat, so then you do have to reimburse him. So that's exactly what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said. So Zera Pishtan, who deinu chayv b'achriyuson, Tanakama said, if it's Zera Pishtan, where at least some people eat it, so then I don't have to reimburse him. Hazeroni gina shein nechal, but if it were Zerone Gina that nobody eats, so of course the Mocher has to reimburse him. So what exactly are the Tanakhama and Shmuel Gamliel disagreeing about? So Elalav Hotzai Kabinayu. It must be that they're disagreeing about how much do I have to reimburse him. Yes, I need to reimburse him for the price of the seeds that I sold him. Do I also need to reimburse him for the price, for the cost of hiring the workers, the farmhands, and everybody that it took to plant this? So Marsav and Tanakama hold the Dmei Zera. You only have to reimburse him for the Dmei Zera. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is adding, Marsav Af Hotzaah, that you also need to reimburse him for the extra expenses that he took on in planting it. So maybe that's good for the machloka. So our shaila was, when you need to reimburse somebody because you sold them stuff that is clearly meant to be planted, and he planted it and nothing grew, do you only reimburse him for the zera, or do you reimburse him for the otza? So now we see that it's a machlokas tanaim, because that must be what's going on in our Mishnah. That's the machlokas tanaim Rav Shimon Gamliel. Says Mar, Mimai, how do you know that's the machlokas tanaim Rav Shimon Gamliel? Dilma ipcha, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe the tanaim, meaning maybe you're right, that's the machlokas, but the shita are reversed, right? Meaning, how do you know who holds what? They both seem to be saying the same exact thing in our Mishnah. So you're going to attach one sheet to the Tanakhama and the other to the Rav Shimon Gamliel. How do you know which sheet to attach to who? So it says, Mar Halo Kasha. If that's the problem with it, that's not a Kasha. Kol Tanabasha, Litfuya Milsa Ka'asi. Because we know the derech of Mishnayis is that every later Tana in the Mishnah always comes to add something. So if the first Tana says you have to pay X, and the second Tana says Cha, it must mean chayiv x plus y, right? So the Tanakhama said you have to pay the value of the zera. So it must be the one that's saying you have to pay for the zera and the hotzah. So that's not really such a kasha. So it says Mari, no, but there's another problem. V'dilma kuler Rishon Gamliel. Maybe there are no two tanaim in our Mishnah. Maybe the entire Mishnah follows Rishon Gamliel and is authored by Rishon Gamliel. V'chsur mechshav ha'achi katani. And therefore, and there's just you just have to add in a little commentary as you read the Mishnah. And it should read as follows. Hamocha peros chaveru uzra'an velo tzamchu. You sell peros and the guy plants them and nothing grows. Afilu zara pishtan einu chay v'achriyuson. Even zara pishtan, where most of the time it's meant for zriya, the mocher is not on the hook to pay back. Divrei Rav Shimon Gamliel. That also is Rav Shimon Gamliel. Share Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, because we know Rav Shimon Gamliel says zeronegina shein nechal chayv b'achriyuson, that it's only zeronegina that nobody eats that you're going to have to pay, but anything that somebody eats you're not going to have to pay. So if the whole thing is Rav Shimon Gamliel, there's no machlokas. If there's no machlokas, we don't have any raya whether you have to pay the hotza'ah or not in a case where you sold something that's zeronegina. So says Gemara, if you want to find Rav Shimon Gamliel that says they have to pay for the expenses, it's not from our Mishnah. It's from the following place. Titania, Hamolachitin Litchon, if someone brings wheat to the guy who grinds wheat and makes flour, Velola Sasan, and the guy who grinds the wheat didn't do a good job, he didn't soak the wheat first in order to make sure that it's pristine and clean, Vasan Subin, and therefore he got some bad flour, Omorsan, or he got some bran, Kemach Lenachton Vafo, Pasni Poland, you brought your flour to a baker and he was supposed to use that flour to make a beautiful cake or a beautiful a loaf of bread, and you got bread that breaks and is crumbly, and he forgot the oil or something, whatever it is, there was an ingredient that's missing. Behema letabach v'nibla, you bring your animal to a shochet and he makes it an avela. Chayiv mneishu kenosi sachar. The uman is chayiv to pay for what he destroyed because he's getting paid for his work. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, nosanot me boshto dvei Boshes Orchov. You know how you're making a chasna, and now you have to serve terrible bread and terrible, you know, trefa meat. You're not going to serve trefa meat, but whatever that is, so it's going to be embarrassing. You have nothing to feed your guests, so he has to pay for the Boshes as well. So the Yesh Omrim that's Mechayiv to pay the Zrona Gina, even the Hotza'ah, is Rav Shmuel Gamliel, that we see we make such knassos for the secondary damage that resulted, even though it's very indirect damage. And we have similar takanos, two similar takanos. There was a minna gadol in Yerushalayim that a moser su'uda l'chaveiro, that if a person asks, hires a caterer to prepare a su'uda, v'kilkala, and the food is all bland or burnt or something, he has to pay for the embarrassment that was caused by that su'uda. That was a minna gadol, it's a takanam yuchedas, because technically it's only garmi, it's not something that you could be mechayiv someone for. Od minna gadol in Yerushalayim, another minna gadol that in Yerushalayim was to be able to know when someone was interested in having guests or not. They had a sign, the mapa prus al gabei pesach. If they have a mapa laid out in front of the doorway of your house, calls matcha mapa prusa orchid nechnasin. That was a sign that guests are welcome. Nistalka mapa. If the mapa was taken down, ein orchid nechnasin. That was a sign that the guests were not welcome at that time. They say that they used the mapa because paris mapa umekadish. Mapa is a tablecloth, and that's why that's the indicator. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis. Great day.